Hey gang, today's episode of How Did I Get Here is brought to you by PrettyRiot.com. PrettyRiot.com is a Houston-based blog that caters to music, art, fashion, and almost anything independent. Naturally drawn to the unbeaten path, Pretty Riot's goal is to shine some light on all the badass stuff you have to search for on the internet. They're in love with art and artists of all types, so they created this site as a platform to showcase these things to the world. You should definitely be reading PrettyRiot.com.
And you may ask yourself, well, how did I get here?
It's time for How Did I Get Here? And now here is your host.
Hello, I'm Johnny, I'm your host, welcome to the show, thank you for listening, we have a good show for you today, I have a great guest, but before we get to that, I'm going to get into, it is a gorgeous day here today, and a month ago or so, I asked some people to send me some recipes, and there's a lady named Trisha who has been sending me some recipes, and I think today I'm gonna actually cook one of them. I'm going to try it out. So far I've made spaghetti sauce and I made a, beef stroganoff, which was good. Beef stroganoff was pretty good. The spaghetti sauce was really good. I made it with sausage and stuff. So, made for a tasty treat for me. So I'm trying to eat better. Do no fast food. I haven't done fast food, but I will tell you a couple times this new year, I've done the Chinese, which I don't think is that much better for you than the fast food. So I'm trying to do that. Step away, get some fresh vegetables, do a little more frequent shopping, think about my meals, plan my meals, and eat them right. That's what I'm doing, New Year's. You know, sticking to it, trying to eat right. What are you doing for New Year's? That's what I want to know. You sticking to something? Are you doing right? So maybe I'll do a fish. That's what I'm going to do. You tell me what you're doing, I might do a fish. My guest today is an incredibly talented musician from the band Cowboy and Indian, Jazz Mills. I saw Jazz, maybe a couple months ago at a thing at the W, and I asked her to be on the show, and then it kind of slipped away. And then I saw a video that was done by a mutual friend of ours, Holly Bronco, of her and this girl, Stephanie, doing patty cake and singing the song a cappella, and it was amazing. And anyway, I asked her to be on the show again, and she said, yeah, and so we worked it out, and she came by. I got to listen to a lot of her music. She's currently working on a record that she's finished four songs for, and we've got some sneak previews on here. She was nice enough to give How Did I Get Here an exclusive sneak preview time with Jazz Mills. Anyway, I really, really, really enjoyed hanging out with her, and we talked about getting together and recording a song. Maybe next week. Who knows? Release it to you on the internet. There you go. All right, so let's do this. It's my new friend, Jazz Mills.
One, two, three.
I'm just a girl, a wonderful girl. I'm the sweetest one in town. You can search for miles around, and not one like me can be found.
Finally stopped raining.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the rain, I guess. Yeah.
I did too. Yeah. You know, I was in Miami and I came back to the rain.
Why were you in Miami?
I was in Miami visiting family.
Is that where you're from?
Kind of. My people are from Cuba. So I've got factions in Miami.
You're got Cuban?
I'm Cuban.
I had no idea. You don't look super Cuban.
No, there's a lot of European stuff going on. A lot of English, Scottish, Spanish, Italian, fair people. Light eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What about you? What are you?
Italian and Czech.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Czech, you're from San Angelo, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jazz Mills. Isn't it weird? We just started a conversation.
Well, I mean, I guess that's how it goes.
Yeah. And you're a fairly new mom.
Yes, a year and a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
How are you taken to it?
I mean, I'm obsessed with her.
Yeah.
She's definitely like the relationship of my lifetime.
Yeah.
And I'm totally the type of person that wants to fully give myself to like another person. I've been that way my whole life, and that's such a like, or to me, the ultimate romantic gesture, to just like completely give yourself to somebody, because there's so many people and so many opportunities to do that. And so to have a daughter that I can do that to now is just like totally who I want to be.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she's
You're
rad.
Lucky. She's lucky.
Well, I'm lucky. She's yeah. much smarter than me, for sure.
Really?
Yeah.
So far, what does she do any tricks?
She...
Does she say stuff yet? Like
yeah.
mama?
She says yeah. mama and dada. She says juice.
Yeah?
That's her priority most times, is to get juice. She likes taking baths. She's really, 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 really strong for her age.
Physically strong?
Yeah. She's very strong. She can run and climb and jump around. She's got really good balance, so she's kind of a little monster.
How does that, did that slow you down at all? Like being like in the later part of your pregnancy, were you still out there jamming?
Yeah, our very last show, or I played shows up until I was 8 months pregnant. And then we played our first show 4 weeks after she was born.
Wow.
So, yeah, there was like a 2 month period where I wasn't playing, but.
Pardon the pun, but you got right back on the horse. Cowboy mm-hmm. and Indian, get it?
Got it.
Thanks. So you are in a bunch of different projects.
Mm-hmm.
And is there one main one? Or like you kind of take them as they prioritize themselves, like, oh, I've got a new album. You have a new album coming out of your own.
Yeah, an EP that I was approached by, the idea of doing a solo album has been kind of like talked about for a few years now, and I just was never really interested in it. But this producer out in LA is just so out of my league and so good at what he does. And so when I got pregnant, my manager was kind of like, you should really reconsider and try and do some solo stuff. And so that was really new and different for me. And he's...
So you have a manager?
Yeah. Her name's Susan.
Oh, Susan Funderburg.
Yeah.
So you guys confer a lot, and you kind of like guide your... She kind of handles you or everything. She does Cowboy and Indian.
She's Cowboy and Indian's manager, yeah. And then...
And then also Jazz Mills.
Yep.
And then what else?
What else does Susan manage?
Yeah, does she ever go like, oh, God, you got to get out of this other band and do some more Cowboy and Indian. You're driving me nuts here.
No, I mean, the good thing is that Cowboy and Indian and Leopold and His Fiction... and Gemini Dreams, they're all kind of factions of each other.
Explain each one. Cowboy and Indian is...
Cowboy and Indian started off as a duo between me and Jesse.
Right.
And then it was Daniel, and then Peter, and Dorian, and then Stephanie, and then for a tiny bit, Phoebe, Stephanie's sister.
Okay.
I
played with Dorian.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, he is awesome.
Yeah, he's super awesome. And then... We kind of, Cowboy and Indian toured really hard for like 18 months, and then Jesse got real busy with some film stuff, and...
He was in The Master, right?
Right.
That's what he got busy with?
That and Breaking Bad.
Okay.
And...
He was in Breaking Bad?
Uh-huh, the last season.
Wow, I didn't see the last season.
Yeah. He plays a pretty gnarly character, but... So he got really busy.
Guy.
He is. He's yeah. the nicest guy.
Okay, sorry, go ahead. So he got busy.
He got busy... And so Daniel, who had previously been in Leopold, that was a band out of San Francisco, decided to start kind of touring with him with them again. And so Peter and Dorian from Cowboy and Indian then became Leopold and His Fiction with Daniel. And I kind of started singing with them. So it was like basically the same members minus Jesse touring as Daniel's old band.
Okay. Different songs. Then.
Right. Different okay. songs.
And then Daniel is the guy with the long hair, the vest, and the mustache.
Right.
Love
but he
that
has
guy.
Short hair now.
Oh, he does?
Mm-hmm.
What a drag.
I know.
I had a name for him whenever I'd see you guys play in my mind. I called him Free Ride.
Yeah.
You know, like the song? Mm-hmm. You could just hear him like pulling up in a car.
Unfortunately cut his hair. But I mean, his short hair looks really good. And,
gonna have to give him a new name.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Or just learn Daniel.
Or Daniel. Yeah, that works. And then Phoebe and Stephanie Hunt, And I have a side project called Gemini Dreams because we're all Geminis. And Phoebe and I have the same birthday.
What's your birthday?
June 3rd.
Okay.
Yeah. So we have that side project. And like you said before, kind of like whichever one's got stuff going on is right. what becomes the priority at the time. And right now I'm really focusing on my solo thing and going to release a single this month and a music video finally.
Who made the video?
Well, it's kind of in the works, but his name is Trevor Wiggins.
That's a great name.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's really funny.
Okay. Is he from here?
No.
He's from L.A.? You spend a lot of time by coasting it or whatever this is? Lake Coast?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah. Daniel's parents live in L.A. Susan's in L.A. The producer I work with is in L.A. So, yeah, we're out there.
Are you and Daniel also involved? This is an odd place to ask that question, but I like it.
Put you on the spot. We are definitely involved. Not maybe in the conventional sense of the word. Like, we are not... We don't hold hands and things like that, but we have a daughter. And
Okay.
And we're in multiple projects together, so we're definitely involved in that sense.
Yeah. Wow. So, but it works out. You guys must be friends if you're...
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're family, for sure. Like, we're family.
It's a modern family.
Yeah.
Is that what you'd think of it?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's just... We every single part of our life is intertwined. Like, there is no possible way to kind of take your, to separate it, because if we're not doing Cowboy in India and then we're doing Leopold, and then if we're doing my solo project, then he's involved in that too, with playing some guitar, helping me with songwriting, and then we have Ava, so our daily life is, you know, centered around her schedule and our schedules and how we can make that all work. So we're very much involved, but, and we care about each other very much, but it's not, we're so different.
Okay. So you're not boyfriend, girlfriend?
No.
Per se?
No.
You're co-parents
mm-hmm.
and collaborators artistically?
Yes.
So parents of art and parents of Ava?
Right.
Yeah. That sounds good. I mean, that's nothing. That's awesome.
Yeah. It's what's working right now.
Yeah. How was your... Let's go back to San Angelo. I read in your... I think all bios should be like this.
Me too.
And I watched the video of you putting all the grapes in your mouth. What are you trying to prove when you do that? What do you
trying to prove that because I There's had like deeper... I made some comment that I could do that and somebody was like, that's bullshit, you can't. And then I showed them that I could, and that was it. That was the only point at the time, was to show them that I really could do it.
I think it's cool.
Thanks.
I thought it was kind of cool. I did.
I mean, it's not like a necessary talent, but
yeah,
I can do it.
So you were born in San Angelo, Texas?
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your parents. You're an only child?
I'm an only child.
What are the parents like?
Oh my God, my parents are awesome.
Okay.
I'd be totally lost without my parents, for sure.
Are they a more conventional, is this a more conventional family unit than?
No.
No? Talk to me about it.
Well, my dad is a technical engineer at Goodyear.
Okay.
And my mom is a paralegal at a law firm. Mm-hmm. And so I guess, like, it seems maybe that they are more conventional because they have, like, the 9-to-5 and they've been working those jobs for a long time. But my mom is, like, through and through 100% a folk musician at heart. And she is definitely why I sing.
Right. I read somewhere that that's who you were singing with before. So go ahead.
Yeah. And so even though she didn't really pursue music as a profession, there was always music going on in our house, whether it was her singing to me, her band practice, albums, whatever it was. And so I kind of grew up where music was my first language. It wasn't something that I made a conscious effort to do. It was just...
You were just always doing it.
Right. I adapted music just like I would walking or anything else I thought was necessary to cope with my environment, because it was something that was happening all the time. So it was normal to me and it seemed necessary. That was a way to communicate. That was something that we did every day. And so, yeah, she was definitely influence in my life as far as music. And my dad is just this really, really creative guy who, even though he's kind of got the normal 9-to-5, he's super, super creative. And they're both so supportive of me pursuing it. And that's, it's really cool to have parents that take what I do seriously. They don't just kind of entertain the idea of like, oh, our daughter, she's a musician, that's really amusing, and they think that I should pursue it, and they take it seriously, and that's a really cool thing to have.
It's rare too.
Yeah,
there's, you know, there's not a lot of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Going on, a lot of people are like, you gotta find a. They never had a like, okay, well, you know, you can do that, but look, you know, I'm a paralegal.
You especially know what I mean? After having Ava. I kind of expected them after I had Ava to be a little bit yeah. more like, all right, hey, so now, you tried yeah, yeah. it, but let's not yeah. anymore. But they're kind of like, no, like, hustle through it. You can do it. It's just going to be hard, but we should keep going. And so that's been really rad.
That almost sounded like something from Hustle Through It, You Can Do It, like a Broadway play, you know, where your parents come out, like the Jazz Mills story.
Maybe someday there will be a Broadway show about me.
You think so?
No.
I mean, I would go to it. I watched a lot of stuff about you today and read a lot of stuff. I feel like I took like the intensive Jazz Mills, like yeah? Rosetta Stone course.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good. And I feel like I know you more than I did because I've seen you around.
Mm-hmm.
But we kind of talked a little bit, but not like this.
Right.
Not like
this is the first conversation.
And it's being recorded.
Right.
Most conversations should be recorded. So you really, you know, put absolutely. The effort into it.
And you're held accountable.
And you're held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
So so your mom had bands and you started singing. Did she play guitar? Your mm-hmm. dad's real creative. Like, what do you mean? Like, he draws?
Creative, or? Like, not draws, but like...
builds stuff?
No? Yeah, welds, builds things. Yeah. He used to, like, a couple Christmases ago, he made me these coasters that he cut pockets out of his old, like, Wrangler shirts. And then, like... inserted these little discs so that they'd be hard and made these like coasters for me. And my favorite thing ever from my dad is when I was I don't know, like 10 or something, and he made me this really thoughtful Christmas card that was like these leather bound card he made, and like so that when I opened the card he had written inside of it, but then the outside was made of leather, and he put it inside of a pair of old jeans that he had sewed
yeah.
and like made the envelope out of old jeans. And it was just so thoughtful and really a beautiful thing to picture my dad like taking the time to yeah. do that for me. And yeah. I think the coolest thing about the fact that my dad is so creative is he's really unassuming. You wouldn't even in conversation, if you went out to eat with my dad, think that that's something he would do or even want to do.
Right.
So it's cool how surprisingly creative he is.
So it seems like San Angelo as like a community doesn't really nurture that sort of, you know what I mean? Or does it?
Not maybe as a majority, but right. there is definitely yeah. there is definitely a decent part of that town that yeah. is really, really dedicated to the arts and
it's good to know.
Bringing it to San Angelo. And so it's definitely growing. But I mean, when the community I grew up in, San right. Angelo, yeah. was super supportive. Like I yeah. didn't have any...
They didn't think you were weird at school?
Oh, I'm sure plenty of people thought I was yeah. weird.
But you didn't buy into that thing and be persecuted.
No, and I was such a poser. Like, I wanted to hang out with everybody. And so, right, right. like, I couldn't really be bothered by whether or not I was weird. I wanted to hang out with goth people and skaters and preps. And I wanted to play sports and be in choir and whatever I could do. The idea of being separated from entire groups of people always really confused me and bothered me. The fact that there was like,
yeah, why is this happening?
Yeah, it was really strange to me. And like, so I was definitely a poser, and there are probably plenty of people who thought I was super weird.
So when did you when did you perform first, and how was that? Was it with your mom first, or was it at school, some kind of thing?
Yeah, I think that when I was really little, I would sing in church with my mom.
Okay.
And then I sang like the national anthem at a volleyball game when I was 9 or something. It was really horrible. It's my least favorite song to sing, or situation to be put in, is to sing the national anthem at any event. But that was the first time.
I mean, have you done it at a lot of events? Because you sound like it's like, it's like a burden.
No, I mean, maybe 10, but it's, wow. I hate it. I should never, I don't know why I say yes, but I'm always like, absolutely.
Tell me some of the, what are the events? Because that thing freaks me out. I would never do it. Like somebody told me that you could do it at the hockey games here. A friend of mine, he's like, oh, I'll tell them to get you to do it. And I was like, I'm not going to do that.
No, it's terrible. It's horrible.
I would sing it real straight, though. I wouldn't.
Yeah, like, me too. But even that, like, it's a really, like, it's really low. Yeah. It's really high. Yeah. It's
everybody's looking at you. It's no totally out of context. There's no possible
key that you can pick that is a good key for your voice, because it's just a really difficult song to sing. And not only is everybody looking at you, because that doesn't necessarily bother me. Like, performing doesn't bother me, and I'm really.
No, but like in a hockey game, and you know what I mean? Like,
it's the fact that everybody's staring at you and you're singing the song that is our nation's song. It's just such a, like, horrible thing. And there's a lot of
weight on you. Yeah. For that. Like, oh, this is, let's see what, okay.
Yeah, because everyone also expects it to be really bad. They're waiting for you to mess up, or for, like, this track to skip, or for your microphone to squeak, or something. Like, there's so rarely a good performance of the national anthem that, like, I just, yeah, I need to say no.
Wow. Okay, so you sang it at the volleyball game.
Yeah, and I sang it at, like, a rodeo type thing, and at a, an event last year for the city.
So, as recently as last year, you couldn't say no.
Yeah.
I think you have a problem.
I do. I say yes to everything.
You have a national anthem problem. You do. You came right on the show. I don't know if I want to be on your weird podcast.
This
is easy.
This is how I like this stuff.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Do you listen to stuff, podcasts?
No, I spend the majority of my time, like, face-to-face with people, as many people as I can.
Yeah.
So this is rad for me.
You're doing both. Yeah. You're both on a podcast and having FaceTime. Yeah,
win-win.
Yeah, win-win. Win-win. So, so after the, so you're, so 10, 11, did you, were you in choir and stuff then?
Yeah, I was in choir.
And you had performances and you church stuff and.
Yeah, and I,
What were you listening to? Like, what were you?
Oh my gosh,
what
it was so weird. Yeah. It was so, like, I was really into gospel music, but, like, real gospel music and, a lot of James Taylor was played in our house. A lot of soul, a lot of, like, Joan Baez, Joni Mitchell. And then I listened to any country I could get my hands on.
Any?
Oh, yeah. I loved country.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was definitely something that I never realized how strange it was until I got older. But, like...
What were other kids list like? Was it?
I guess whatever was on the radio, on the block, and, like, whatever, the radio was, like, so not an avenue for me.
Yeah,
like,
you didn't.
I mean, I listened to the radio, I guess, but it was, like, maybe in the car or something. But all the majority of the music that I listened to growing up, a lot of my friends didn't even know existed. And my best friend Hillary, her dad listened to a lot of, like, Harry Nilsson, and the Beatles and the Stones.
We got into that.
Yeah, and I just remember me and her kind of having this, like, bond over music that, you know, other people didn't know existed. The Steve Miller Band. Oh, my God. I listened to so much Steve Miller Band when I was in junior high.
That's awesome. So you did you go to concerts? You guys, that's not a lot of music coming through there.
That doesn't happen, really.
You went to your mom's shows, though. Where did she play?
She played...
Like, community centers or more bar kind of things?
No, definitely not bars.
Coffee shops?
No, we don't have coffee shops in San Angelo. There's a place called the Chicken Farm, which was like an old chicken farm, that this really amazing man, an artist named Roger Allen, bought and turned all of the, like, I guess, I don't know if they were coops, but, like, where they would keep all the chickens into these artist studios.
Okay.
So there's, like, 20 or so artist studios out there where I guess a few people lived, and there's a bed and breakfast, and the old chicken silo was turned into this amazing restaurant. And but the majority of it is just studios, and they have these shows out there, and my mom would play there, and I grew up thinking that was, like, the most amazing place ever. It was like a little mini festival in our town.
And how often did she play there? Like, did she play out every weekend, or was it like a once a month kind of thing? Was it a big deal?
I'd say like a few times. No, like once or twice a month.
Let me ask you this, because this is an interesting thing. Did you watch her, like, getting ready for her show, and you'd, like, sit with her while she kind of get her makeup on and kind of warm up or whatever?
So.
And you'd be like, yeah, this is, I like that sort of, like, preparation thing.
No.
Because you were on the inside.
Yeah, but know? I didn't want to pursue music at all.
Okay, what did you want to do? What was the thing?
It changed all the time. Like, I really sincerely, and it sounds so lame and cheesy to say it this way, but, like, I wanted to find a way to be some type of superhero, and not in the, like, I needed a power or something, but, like, I wanted to figure out a way to meet as many people as possible. And so it changed from like medicine to a missionary to an orphanage to whatever. Like it was always changing. And I would then realize like, oh, I'm not going to, if I'm a teacher, I'm only going to reach my classroom. Like I got to like get out there.
Gotta reach more.
Yeah. So
it's that giving of yourself thing. That's a theme.
Well, it was.
That's what a superhero does.
When I was like really little, and I don't know exactly how young, but small, like four maybe, I had a dream about like there was this like huge war, and I don't know who it was between in my dream, but it was definitely like separated. There were like two huge massive amounts of people that were just pitted against each other, and it was like really confusing to me. Like I remember waking up and talking to my mom and kind of saying like, I don't understand why they just don't talk to each other, like why they don't communicate. And my mom was like, well, you know, they've maybe tried, or that's not all it comes down to sometimes. And I just remember thinking like, yes it does, that's what it comes down to. It was like people making this agreement to like not harm each other, and like the idea that it really blew my mind when I was younger that like I knew that I would make mistakes and that I would hurt someone's feelings, or that someone might make a mistake and hurt my feelings, and then we would like talk about that and work it through. But like the idea that people intentionally hurt people, were trying to hurt people, blew my mind. Like I couldn't understand that at all. It was really difficult for me to swallow that there were people that like it wasn't an accident or a mistake. And so I think that just kind of stuck with me my whole life, as far as wanting to be a part of anything and everything that was like going to be the opposite of that, that was going to heal or nurture or bring together or whatever it was going to be, to just stay away from that. And like, yeah, it was just a really trippy idea for me, because I've definitely hurt people before, you know, like,
did I read that in something of yours that you wrote, that you've been hurt and you've done people wrong, and you've been done wrong, and it feels the same.
It does. That's amazing. And in some cases, it's worse to be the person that does the hurting, you know, like it's way much harder to deal with when you're like, I don't want that on me. I don't want to know that I've put that on somebody else. Yeah. I've made someone feel that bad. So yeah, it's odd to me that some people could stomach that they could like hurt people on purpose. And
a lot
like
of people that can do it,
or so
not even on purpose, I guess having knowledge that they're doing it, that no matter what, their actions are going to hurt people, and they can just go on,
it'd be really dismissive of it.
Yeah,
yeah, strange.
I like you. Yeah, you're cool. So then you're a kid and you had all these ideas of, when it said you wanted to be a superhero, I thought like a costume, because I've seen you with your some paint on your face.
Well, I would wear a costume, for sure. Yeah. If I had some kind of actual tangible power, I would for sure wear a costume. I'm really, really into, like, dressing up.
Yeah.
For sure.
I get that.
Yeah. Like, it's my new favorite hobby, is to be a part of as much, like, film and photography as possible, and allow... I really, really, really enjoy being someone's medium. Like, I like someone... say like, hey, this is the vision I have, and I want to do your hair like this, or your makeup like this, or I want you to wear this, or stand here. Like, that's so much fun for me.
And then people can see all those pictures, like, on your Facebook, right? On your Facebook page.
Some of them,
right? I've saw some. And then I went to the things, and I saw a couple of, I looked you up on Google. You can find it.
I did that once.
What's wrong? You Googled yourself?
Yeah. I was really interested to see
what they're saying.
On out there? No, I did the images.
The images.
Because, yeah, and like, oh, there's just, that's the only thing that sucks about being involved in that much stuff, is like people's perception of like what they liked of you,
right.
And you're like, why would you ever post that?
Yeah.
But whatever. It's not all about me.
Well, maybe it is. You never know.
No, it's definitely not.
Okay. What kind of like, you're not like a, There's a lot of levels to you. You seem like different people to me. Like almost like this quiet hippie philosopher kid that just wants good to happen. And then almost like a seasoned vaudevillian who can sing and dance.
Well,
it'd be funny. Do you feel like that? Do you feel like you're those people?
I feel like I really want to be all those people.
Yeah.
Like,
I think you are. I mean, I think you're, I mean, you know, there's, I'm sure, I'm, you know, seeing you probably in a maternal context would add even another level to it, especially the nurturing side.
Well, I mean, I think everybody is like capable of that. But it's just not their thing. And for me, like, I really, like in music specifically, because I've been able to record with a lot of different people, and I feel like the most exciting thing about it is being able to listen to their song or their album and spend time with those people and then kind of embody a whole new character. Like, and one of the things that I respect most about being able to collaborate with other musicians is, I'm sure that if you took my vocal out of some of these recordings and just listened to it isolated, my voice would sound really strange. But, like, part of being a background singer for somebody or doing a duet with someone or harmonizing with someone is, like, molding your voice to what their voice sounds like and, like, what the song needs. And so it's a really cool experience for me to be able to sing with people and it not really be about, like, oh, I want them to hear me. I want them to hear jazz and, like, me right. specifically. I just want to make a sound that sounds best for this song. And that's definitely probably where I get into character most, is being able to be on stage and use my voice as kind of an instrument and wear war paint or a headdress or tap shoes. I can't tap, but I really want to. But, yeah, I don't know. I think life is just super, super exciting. And I just know so many cool people. And I want to figure out a way to be able to hang out with all of them.
Yeah. That's a good aspiration to have. And you're part of a great community. And I noticed I've always kind of, since I met you or became aware of you, that you're part of a whole kind of like community of artistic people. I am too.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard to miss in this town. I feel like
you
can really easily be plugged into a lot of cool people here.
So were you in San Angelo when you decided you wanted to be a music person? Or what happened? How'd you get out of San Angelo? What'd you do? What happened?
I
was run out of town, Johnny.
I went to Cloudcroft, New Mexico when I graduated. So I was 17. I moved to Cloudcroft and I worked at this place called Aspendale.
Which is what?
It's like a camp or like a grounds
that
all different groups of kids will come into. Some are like inner city kids, some it's a church camp or whatever. And like it's your job to clean and cook and then kind of show them around.
Kind of a counselor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I did that, and then I moved back home after a few months, and then I went to South Plains College in Loveland.
Okay.
And I went to their music program there, and at first I was super bummed because I didn't want to be in West Texas, and none of my friends were going to be, like, in Loveland. It's kind of a terrible place, but this...
Tell me about it, like, because there's guys like you and James McMurtry, you know, has written songs about it and stuff.
Well,
and like,
it's this area. Loveland is a town. Like, if I wasn't at the school, I wouldn't want to be there.
Right.
But the music program, I had, like, some of the best times of my entire life at that school because there's nothing else to do but go to school, and they make the program so that everything that you do is super relevant to music. And you have to do live sound, you have to take lessons, you have you have to learn everything. You have to learn sound engineering and music history. But it was so interesting to all of a sudden be a part of a community where, like, everybody that you're around is completely consumed by music and the study of music at all times. There was no, like, random government class you took or something that you had to take. It was about music.
Yeah,
it was really interesting. And I met a guy there who, when he graduated, moved to Austin. And so a year later, I moved to Austin, and we were in...
Did you graduate?
From South Plains?
Yeah.
No. I left after a year. He left, and then I left and went home and went to college for another year in San Angelo for psychology. And then...
It seemed like you'd be really good at that.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
But...
was going to pay you $70. I'm just kidding.
Well, we can hang out for free. But So I went to college there, hated it. I'm kind of bad at school. I'm kind of bad at taking the classes I don't feel like are relevant to my degree, and I get kind of lazy about it.
But the other ones you excelled in and threw yourself into?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's normal.
I moved to Austin so that me and John could be together in the same town.
So you guys were together?
Oh, yeah.
As a couple?
Yeah. We were together for...
And did you make music together? Do you have that?
We were in Fever in the Breaks together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So this is recent. You're really young.
Yeah. We were in Fever in the Breaks for like a year or so together, but we were together for almost 6 years. And So we were in that band together. That's kind of why I came to Austin. And then after Fever in the Breaks, I kind of decided, like, I don't really want to be in music anymore. I'd kind of waltzed into that band.
What were you going to... And you were a backup singer, and that's a big band with horns. I want to get them in here, the guy.
Yeah, they're rad.
Yeah, they are.
They're really cool.
I think that's where I first saw you, was we did some shows together at Momo's.
Probably.
I think so.
I love Momo's.
Yeah, me too. It's gone.
The
sign's still out there, like, floating on this empty building. It's so strange.
Yeah, well, I was in that band, and then after I wasn't in that band, I decided, like, I just didn't feel like being in music, really. Or, like, I wanted to sing, but I didn't want to pursue it. And
what were you going to... Did you have a pursuit, or were you like, I'm just going to hang out, man? This is great. Got good friends.
I wanted to work with kids, but my ultimate goal was to always, like, find some kind of avenue to, like, meet everyone in the world. And so, at first, it was just... I was a preschool teacher, and then I was a nanny. Cool. And then I met Jesse... And he kind of, like, saved my musical life, or my music soul. And we met at a party, and he heard me sing. I heard him sing, and he made some kind of comment, like, we should sing together. And I was kind of like, and I just saw a movie that he was in, so I knew who he was.
What movie was that?
Observe and Report.
Okay.
But I was
I
was like, oh, no, like, yeah, I'm sure we'll meet up and talk. Like, it was nice to meet you, but I'll see you never. And then he ended up coming over, like, a week later, and we wrote this really beautiful song that is still my favorite in, like, 15 minutes. And then from that point on, we're just kind of like, we want to do this. And we didn't really have any plans on being a band. We just wanted to hang out and play music together.
Yeah.
And I had a solo show booked for South By that year. And I called the promoter and said, hey, I don't really know how I got this show. I can't play an instrument. I have no material. So, like, I have no idea what I'm going to do for this 35-minute set. And so I made Jesse come with me and play it with me. And I basically just sang backups to a lot of his songs. But I randomly dressed like an Indian that day. And he kind of always looks a little bit like a cowboy. So people just started calling us that. And that's how that
name
started.
Wasn't taken?
Oh, it was. Sure.
Okay.
Band in, well, there's plenty of cowboys and Indians, and then, like, cowboy and Indian bear and cow.
Right.
And then there's another group that's not playing anymore, but was at the time called Cowboy and Indian from Cleveland, and we got mixed up with them a bunch, but we just didn't change it.
Do you think if the shit ever goes down, you're gonna have to add another word?
No.
Like cowboy and Indian Texas?
No, I mean, I think our
or make own... those guys be cowboy and Cleveland. Yeah,
they're not playing anymore.
Oh, they're not.
So no,
it's clear.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Copyright it.
Yeah.
Do what you can. It's my advice.
Okay.
Okay, so you start playing with Jesse and then you start adding people.
Yeah. Well,
because it became a pretty big band.
Yeah, we.
And you guys played. Okay, let's. Yeah, because you guys. I just remember, like, out of the blue, it was like. The band that not, I don't know if I was reading about it, but I know that my friends, you know, our friends were all, you know, oh, you got to see Cowboy and Indian. This is the thing.
Well, it definitely it for sure came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
I mean, none of us were really trying to do it.
Right. And that's the best kind. Organic.
Michael Larman had kind of jumped on board really early and was like, we're going to do a tour. And so him and Daniel booked this, like, 30-date tour, but we had, like, zero songs.
And, like, ready. How did you go on tour? I mean, that costs money, and you just, like,
we just
you guys slept on people's floors
had.
And just, like, whatever, just freestyle.
I mean, the three
people
of us
liked
just,
you.
The three of us just kind of split it. I mean, we knew a lot.
Jesse, you, and Daniel.
Yeah. Okay. And, like, Daniel was brought on board because he was, like, our best friend. We had just met him. We were all in love with each other and, like, had, we knew that we had this 30 dates booked now, but I knew that there was going to be portions of that tour that Jesse was going to have to fly back to Austin for Friday Night Lights, and I wasn't going to be right. able to finish it. So Daniel was like, I'll do it, and then we can do the shows as a duo when Jesse's gone. And so me and Jesse just drove to San Francisco, recorded four songs in Daniel's closet in like 5 days, and then we toured from San Francisco to Austin and then to New York and back to Austin, and then we just didn't stop. And we didn't play in Austin very much. We played in...
Did you guys make a record or anything?
We recorded a bunch of songs all over the place, but we never released our album.
So you guys still haven't released anything?
Mm-mm. No.
Where does the band stand now?
We're kind of just all in, like, these different directions. Like, Cowboy Indian is kind of like this umbrella that...
Okay.
You know...
Like a collective.
Yeah, almost. And I think that... We were always trying to catch up with ourselves because we had no plans to do it. And so it was like we were on tour.
People really freaked on it.
Well, and it was just, when we got done with tour, we had another tour booked. And then we'd do that tour and we'd say, hey, we need to take a break so we can like really record and not rush ourselves through it and be happy with this material. But we'd get back and we'd have another tour booked. So we just never really, we did things backwards. We didn't have a website. We didn't have anything together. We weren't organized. We were basically just going all over the place playing, which was really cool for us. But now
it wasn't focused.
Yeah. Or our focus was just to like, we love each other and we love you and let's go play. And like, so now I think,
That never drove anyone that worked with you crazy. Like someone managing you or trying to put the like, come on guys, this thing. Cause it's hard. It's what I'm trying to get at. I'm sorry. Is from a level of somebody that's done this for a long, long time. You can see those things and those things aren't always, those kind of bands aren't always the band that you're in. You know what I mean? The band that everybody wants it. Like, you know, you guys could have, people would have given you studio time. Just from being around it. And I could see, people that are in charge of your thing going like, come on.
Yeah, well, we drove all of us crazy. Because right. what would happen is we would get the offer to do studio time with someone in Las Vegas or someone in LA or someone right. here. And so we would decide, okay, well, we're touring out there anyways, and we have these 2 days off, so we'll do it then. And we would just squish it in right, to right. 2 days and then not really have the time to have quality control or say, we need to redo that song. And so we just kind of went with what we had all the time. Okay. And then it wasn't until we kind of stopped and said, okay, I'm going to have a baby. We're going to slow it down. We need to really regroup until we realized, like, we're all so... we love that project and we love each other and we're family and we kind of all realize that we're always going to be family and that, you know, Jesse is going to pursue film and I'm going to take this opportunity to do my solo thing and Daniel's always going to be, you know, involved in Leopold and doing that. So Cowboy and Indian is something that now we have a chance to say, let's just take our time and, you know, kind of regroup and figure out which producer do we want to work with? Which 10 songs do we want to do? You know, and I guess just not being in a rush about it. We were always in such a rush and there was always such a deadline and everything was like, we got no sleep and, you know, we have an hour to finish this song, you know, or whatever. And
yeah.
So I think it'll just be nice to kind of in some ways start over.
Right. So what was the project or the thing that you did with Stephanie where you sang the songs and Holly filmed it? Was that during that time, too?
Yeah, that was right when I met Jesse.
Okay.
And me and Stephanie, we didn't really even have a name for it. We were going to be called the Indianas, and then...
Right, that's what it says on there.
That little duo kind of morphed into Gemini Dreams, okay. which was her sister, too. And we, the three of us, basically just, like, record a song or try and write a song when we see each other.
And so she's an actor, too?
Phoebe's not.
No, but Stephanie is. How do I know her? Would I know her?
You would probably know Stephanie.
In a movie? Like, can you name a thing?
Oh, well, she was on Friday Night Lights for a bit.
I didn't see that show.
And she has been in a few, like, independent films and then is on a new show on ABC, but I don't I feel like she never told me the name of it. Or maybe she did. But you'll definitely see her. Okay. She's... And if... I mean, you have to have already met her, I'm sure. Because she's a huge, huge presence in town. There's right. no way that you can experience Stephanie and forget her.
Right. I can see that.
She's awesome.
So... Is that mostly a cappella, what you guys are doing there, too?
No, it just was at the time because I couldn't play an instrument. And
can you play an instrument now?
No.
That's not... You didn't play ukulele or whatever on Honey Pie?
No.
Is that from your new record?
No. That's from...
I'm asking...
That's well, at least before a question. Cowboy and Indian was a band.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was that all about?
That was Michael Lartman. Okay. Okay. Just kind of trying to, after T-Bird, say like, hey... And I love Michael, for sure.
He's a great motivator.
He is, because I didn't want to do music at all anymore. Like, and he found an investor and said, I'm going to fly you to New York. We're going to do a few songs with this producer. And, like, you know, I'll meet, like, he just took care of everything.
Yeah, he's not shy. When I first started doing this, I was probably, like, 10 or 15 episodes in, and I got a call, I think, or... Yeah, I think so. Like, he just was like, oh, gotta keep on doing this, man.
He's so rad.
Yeah, he's totally rad.
He's super rad. And he just kind of flew me to New York and got me in the studio. And looking back on it now, I was so unprepared because I couldn't play an instrument. I'd only written one song. We had, like, 5 days to try and write 3 more songs. And I feel like we got some okay material out of it, but for the most part it was just like a really good experience for me.
Right. You still have, I mean, you probably still have some growth in even during that time to do to catch up to where
now.
You were being viewed, you know what I mean?
Like, it was premature.
Cool,
it was premature, but like, it was a really beautiful gesture for Michael to just say like, hey, you're gonna do it, we're gonna get you out here. And like, he's definitely somebody that I think wants. My solo stuff has kind of started to generate momentum, and I'm organized and kind of have a better idea of what I'm doing. Somebody that I'll always really love to have a part of what I do because he's so motivating.
It's
and
very honest.
yeah, he's very honest.
Can I tell you, I was at this bar and I was drunk, and it was in New York, and it was in September, and just like. To this group of people, he was like kind of squashing through at this bar and just like popped up in my face. It was amazing.
That's how he does it, though.
I love that.
He always
yeah.
comes out from like
just pops out
from
of,
nowhere.
Yeah, in a different city at just a random place. Like,
yeah,
I heard you were here, man.
Yeah, so, yeah,
oh,
for sure.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So you guys did that, and so then you had your daughter, and you started working on a solo.
I recorded.
Did you start writing songs or what? The guy, what?
I. Okay. What?
What?
I recorded the first 4 songs in LA a month and a half after Ava was born.
Okay.
So we just all.
And these are songs you wrote?
Two of them. Oh, wait. One of them I wrote all by myself.
Okay.
One I wrote with Cody and Sam of T-Bird and the Breaks.
Okay.
And then 2 of them are covers. And
what are the covers? I've had a lot of coffee.
One is called Little Baby by the Blue Rondos, and one is called Red Hot Mama, and I have no idea who wrote it.
Okay. Is this your album?
Yeah. Comes in
genius packaging. I saw this when I was flying back. You know, the new Vomit Bags. Have a sticker,
yes,
sticky thing on it. I didn't vomit, but I was checking them out just in case.
It'd be even better than just a regular lunch bag.
I think so. I do like a lunch bag though. So you did a pledge music to put it together, and it looks like you exceeded your. Did you exceed your goal?
Yeah, I mean,
what was the percentage? I saw another one yesterday.
It was like 107.
107. That's still good.
Yeah.
A++.
Yeah. That was a really intense, interesting experience, to do pledge music. Yeah.
What did you give away? I didn't go through all that stuff.
I mean, pretty simple stuff. I mean, EPs and shirts and bags.
But you're not like going to someone's house and making them dinner. And
no, because I wasn't in a position to offer stuff like that because
right,
of Ava.
Yeah.
I just like knew that I'd always have to be like, well, I can't come today right. or tomorrow or ever. So.
Do you guys have a teenage daughter that can watch?
Yeah. Yeah. So it was. Yeah, I didn't do any of that.
That's what you should have done was like, I'll let you babysit Ava, and then you could Well, I guess you don't want to put it in the hands of strangers, but if they're given $1,000, then you're getting paid and you'll have a sitter.
Ava's intense, though.
Yeah.
People will definitely underestimate her. Okay. She's very, very serious. And so I kind of feel like the only people that I've ever let babysit Ava are people that have already spent a lot of time with her, that understand how she works, and she knows them, and they can kind of... Because she can be really... she's super loud. I've never heard a baby that's louder than her. Like, when she's... And she's not even upset. She just starts, like, yelling. And yeah. I think for someone who doesn't know Ava, they could be really... She would just exhaust them. She would run circles around them. So I think the only people that could babysit Ava is someone who understands that she's like that and can just kind of, like...
Do your mom say you were like that?
No. I was very serious.
You were?
Yeah, I was very serious, and I would stare at people, and I wouldn't break, like, my eye contact, and I didn't appreciate necessarily being babied.
I tweeted about this the other day. There was a fucking baby staring at me in the TSA line, and I almost felt like pushing him and go, "The fuck are you looking at, baby?"
Yeah, Ava's like that too. Don't judge me. People have to kind of stand down after a while because she'll just burn a hole through them.
Well, it was early in the morning, and I was confused. I thought this baby was looking at me going like, "Really? This is what you've done?" This
they
is
it? And that's may be what they're thinking.
Yeah. Baby, stop judging me. You judgmental baby.
I think that she's just kind of like the Terminator. Like, she walked into her room and she, like, scans everything. She knows everything that's going on. She's just like...
Do you think you'll have more kids?
I don't know. It's so hard.
Mom.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. But, like, it's so hard to wrap my head around because I'm so, so in love with Ava that, like, the idea of having another kid that I would love equally is, like, how is that possible? I mean, obviously people do that. And
maybe you wouldn't.
Yeah, but I don't know if I could. I just feel like there'd always be, like, how do I have another kid? How would I do that? How would I, like, split myself?
Yeah.
And, but, I mean, a lot of moms say that they felt that way and then it changed. But I don't know. Not for a while, at least. Yeah.
So, what's the name of the album?
I don't know. Oh, well, I have to choose. But I think it's going to be Red, White, and Blue, and Yellow.
Okay, why yellow? Why?
Because almost every song that will be on my album either has one of those four colors on it, and, like, each color is kind of code for an emotion.
Which?
Like, Red Hot Mama can not just be like, oh, she's actually red hot, but she could be angry, you know, and blue is sad, and white is sick or scared, and yellow is happy or whatever. And so a lot of my songs are all color-coded. Like, all of the emotions are kind of written in there with, like, the use of the color.
Okay.
And
in the album?
Mm-hmm.
So you can know, people can know where you were at when you were...
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the process of writing a song about a guy in black that is looking for a girl in yellow.
Okay.
But, like, gets distracted on his travels to her because he ends up being with a woman in blue and a woman in red and, like, kind of being whatever. Anyways, the girl in yellow eventually just goes away with a guy in white. But, like, all my songs have those colors in them.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't know why. I just, like, got on this weird color kick when I finally started writing.
And when is it going to come out?
I don't know. I have to record 6 more songs.
Oh, you have to record more songs.
Yeah.
So the Pledge Music just ended.
No. Pledge Music was like a year ago.
Okay. I need to look at dates of things.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It's okay that you didn't know my Pledge ended. But that was, I recorded my EP a year ago. And I'm just now...
But you're turning this EP into an album. And you've not released that EP, is what you're saying. Okay.
Right.
And what you're giving me here, what we're going to hear at the end of the show, what's that?
The EP.
Okay.
All 4 of the songs.
Wow, so a little preview.
Yeah.
Maybe this is a sneak peek.
Yeah, for sure.
We appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean just me and my apartment alone. So sad. So what's next? Recording the songs. You're going to go back to California and do them with...
with
who
Dave.
Is it? Who, Dave what?
Dave Way.
Dave Way. And what's his... how would folks know him?
He's a superhero, too.
He is.
He's worked with everybody.
But, like, everybody, like Bon Jovi?
Well, he just got nominated for another Grammy for Fiona Apple's new
album. Okay, so he did Fiona Apple's new album?
Yeah.
Wow.
And he's worked with...
I mean, a lot of people. He's in that zone.
Yeah, Michael Jackson, Whitney Houston.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to say Michael Jackson, but...
He's incredible.
Wow.
He's incredible. He's worked with a lot of people.
And he totally loves what you do.
Yeah, I mean, I think me and Dave kind of connect on it. I mean, definitely a musical level, but more just like, we just really enjoy being around each other. And I think he's really funny. And like the very first time I met him 4 years ago, we were talking about him producing some cowboy and Indian stuff. That was what the meeting was about. It had nothing to do with my solo stuff. But like, I stayed at his house for like 4 hours and I think I ended up crying. Like, I just loved him from the beginning. So I think we just – and I told him when we started working on this EP that, like, the only way that I really wanted to do it is if he felt like it was his project too. So I think I'm kind of like his little pet.
Wow, I'm interested to hear what you guys did.
It's different.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. It's different than what I know you for?
Oh, yeah. There's nothing online that would give you any idea of what my EP sounds like. Maybe Honey Pie a little bit, but, like – I'm really inspired by old school Disney melodies, Andrew Sisters.
I just had this conversation with somebody yesterday, with Amy Bobrook about that.
Like 60s vintage pop.
But you know what gets me is, you know, at the beginning of a Disney movie, when a scene opens and there's a choir that sings all...
That's in there.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah, there's a...
I kind of felt like you would be that kind of person, too.
There's an number two on the... is the only one I wrote all by myself. It's called Meet My Father. And there's this part of that song where I was like, okay, this is the part where, like, in old Disney movies when, like, all the birds would sing, that's what I want to sound like. And so, yeah, my shout out to Disney
really
is on number two.
I'm excited to hear it. All right, so anybody cool? Just you and Dave worked on the record, or did you guys bring in some folks?
Some cats out there. Instrumentation?
Guys, yeah, hey, well, we got this guy.
One of my favorite people in the whole world, Trevor Nealon, who is in Wisebird and then also is the keyboard player for Band of Heathens.
Mm-hmm.
We used to be roommates, and he flew out there, met me there, and played keys. And then Donnie Wynn did the drums.
Wynn. Yeah.
Yeah, don't get me started.
Don't get me started. My number one guy.
Yeah, he's amazing. He did the drums, and Sebastian, I don't remember his last name. That's he's the bass player for Fiona. Played bass, and then this beautiful, amazing, older French man who played kind of like the gypsy guitar on everything, and he was so rad. And I didn't know any of them except for Trevor until I got there. I mean, me and Donnie had met, but we didn't know each other, and like they're all much.
And Donnie did it out there.
Yeah, and they're all much older than me, and like they just and they're so much better than me, and not in the sense where like. I mean, they are. They're just so much more... I'm such an amateur compared to them. I don't know what key anything's in. I can't play anything. And they were, like, so graceful with me and patient and just, like... They could have easily just come in and played their part and left for the day, but they stayed all day every day and hung out with me and, like, got to know me. It was amazing.
Sure, but can I tell you why they did that?
Sure.
It's because you're so cool and you carry yourself like you are inspired... And you're good enough to do this stuff, and you're good enough for these people to rally around you, and you're also a cool enough person to not bum them all out by being all bossy, because it's your, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I really appreciate that, but that doesn't always happen. Like, I've recorded lots of times where people are just kind of like in and out, and it's a business thing for them.
No, but
if
they're guys like Donnie, I mean, I've seen Donnie come, you know, I've had Donnie when I've done a record, like in my old house, you know, he came in, you know, whatever it was, because he wanted to be part of an experience. And that's a big thing, like his model of person is very inspiring to me, because as I get older in this business, you see guys that get older and they get jaded and they don't do stuff if it's not the right money, or this is beneath me, or why would I record in your house when all you have is this stupid microphone or whatever. And that guy's never let any of that affect him, and he's always moving forward artistically, which as you get older, sometimes that kind of thing dulls off, because you're like, oh no, I used to be this guy that was the guy, and that still that guy, you got to give me that, you know, the props of being that guy, but you know what I mean? Just kind of like hanging on to something that's not really there. He's just always open to whatever's happening.
He's just a lovely person.
He is. And that's the kind of person I aspire to be. So that's
good. We should do some music together. Yeah. We should do a duet.
Yeah. I would love that. I would totally love that.
Yeah, we should do it.
All right.
Okay.
So a duet. So what do you have? You're going to make this album. What is there anywhere people can come see you anytime soon?
Yes, I am playing a Valentine's Day show at the Indy, and the Sessions are putting on this like awesome romantic night at the Indy, and I'm going to play.
And the Sessions, those are the guys that put on the thing at the W.
Yeah,
that I like.
They're so awesome.
Oh yeah, they're so really awesome. Cool. So go ahead. Sorry.
So that's the only show I have coming up, and then I'm planning to go out to LA in March for a bit
and record.
Maybe or just that'd hang be out. Awesome. I'm gonna make another video with a friend of mine out there, and I have a meeting, and I think I'm going to play a show.
I like there. That.
Yeah.
You have a meeting. Is it going to be... It's good. It's a good meeting.
We'll see.
Okay. Do you think they'll put you in the movies, too? I think that they're pretty soon they're going to have to do that.
Put me in movies?
Yeah.
Like, to act?
Just to be there.
You know? I don't know. I would love to be in movies, but, like, silent films, I think. I don't think I could be an actress at all, but I could, like...
Well, there was a point last year, I'm sure, where people thought, like, oh, the silent film's making a comeback. Let's do it.
I don't know. I mean, I think it would be painfully awkward as an actress, because it would be really difficult for me to, like, or I don't know. I have no idea. I've never tried it, but, like, it just seems really hard. And, like, talking to Jesse and his girlfriend Jordan and his roommates out there and some other people that I've talked to that are really in the thick of what it is to pursue acting, Stephanie, it is brutal. So hard. Like,
I got this lady coming in tomorrow.
So hard. And So I'm not sure that I would have the stomach for it or the heart for it, but I would definitely love to be involved with film in any way possible.
Yeah, but do you have the balls for it?
I don't know. I don't think so. I think I'm kind of a weenie when it comes to stuff like that.
Huh.
I think I would, like, get really into one audition and, like, I would fall in love with the character and I would want to do it so bad. And then I would, of course, not get the film because I have no experience. And then I would just be sad and never do it again. Be so hard to, like, be a part, like, it'd be like having to try out for those shows like American Idol every day and get turned down every day.
I know.
And someone would be like, no, like, I could never do that.
Yeah, I can't do it either. I'm terrible. The only auditions I've ever gotten are when someone said, like, there was a guy that used to be my agent, and he was like, man, you know, you're going to go on these auditions and just not really happening. And I was like, I know, but I don't know if they're looking for me. The only ones I've ever gotten is when you walk in and you don't have, they're like, oh yeah, the guy's got a chain wallet and his hair is messy up. Yeah, that's a scrappy guy. Let's get it. Yeah, you got it. Don't worry about it. You know?
Yeah.
You're Steve now.
Steve.
So, yeah. Steve Miller.
Oh, I love Steve Miller.
What about this Steve Miller do you like? Do you like Abracadabra even?
No.
Really?
No.
I think that's the best guitar solo almost
of all time. No, the best guitar solo. It's so simple. But Steve Miller has this song called True Fine Love that, like...
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the majority of people don't know is him or even know they have that song. And I'm obsessed with it and I want to cover it so bad. And the
that's a great song.
I know. And the guitar solo in that song is so simple and brilliant. And I'm in love with it. It made me...
I ain't complaining, but I still love the thing about you. Kind of love. Yeah, is that not on Book of Dreams? Yeah,
I think so.
That was the synthesizer album, you know, with like Jungle Love and...
I don't know. I'm really, really bad about...
Your greatest hits. Is there anything you're listening to now that's coming out? What happens when you hear electronic dance music?
What happens?
Yeah,
over me?
You go like, oh,
No.
You like Deadmau5 or something? No. No, you live in a different world.
I mean, I don't know. I think that there have been times where I've like been really into any... type of music. Mm-hmm. Like, I think, I don't know. Yeah, it's difficult. Like,
you're not like, I don't care. Right? Are you worried about the Golden Globes?
Why?
I don't know.
No.
Okay.
I'm not worried about that. Are you worried about it?
No. I just like to ask questions like that.
No, I'm not worried about the Golden Globes at all. I haven't thought about the Golden Globes at all.
Really?
Mm-mm.
Is Jesse's movies up for some stuff? I bet he's worried about it.
No,
not worried.
I bet he's definitely not worried. I think he's just really like grateful to like be in the loop of that.
Yeah. All right.
He's so rad.
So you got the ND on Valentine's on the 14th.
Yes.
That's going to be a Sessions event. Who else is playing?
I'm not for sure yet.
But people can find it on the Jazz Mills page on Facebook.
Eventually. I don't think there's an event up yet. But okay. Yes, I will.
But eventually they will. Let's everyone just go there and like that page.
Yes.
Follow you on Facebook Twitter page. And
yeah,
you're
I don't
an
care
active
about Twitter.
You're Don't say that.
I don't, though.
I'm just kidding.
I don't understand it.
You're an active Instagrammer?
Yes.
I like that. Yeah. I felt like when I was in Miami, I knew what you were doing here.
I feel like you upload a lot of pictures of your family.
I did while I was there. Yeah, I was there.
And amongst all the kids. Of you when you were little.
A lot of pictures from when I was little. Mm-hmm. I like them. I don't know what went wrong. That's what I always think when I see those pictures.
Why?
What happened to that guy?
No, he's still there.
He is still there. So people can find you, what is it, at Jazz Mills? Right? Okay. So check her out. I think you're great. Listen to this music on this podcast. I'm excited to listen to what you gave me.
Yeah, you have to text me. Let me know what you think.
Oh, I will.
And then let's do a duet.
We're going to do a duet. Jazz Mills and Johnny Gowdy, a duet. We can record it here. I've got
Mills
all the
and stuff. Gowdy.
Mills and Gowdy.
Gowdy and Mills. Whatever. It sounds like a
sideshow.
No,
I think Mills and Gowdy, if we had one other person, it would be like the kind of law firm you wouldn't go to.
Because we're too like Mills, scary Gowdy, and or Wolfson, we're not very good.
Or something.
Wolfson?
Yeah, I just thought of it because he painted that picture of me and him.
Mills, Gowdy, Wolfson, and Wynn.
No one would go to that.
No. We'd be terrible at our jobs.
We would be the worst lawyers in town, but sure. We would have a good time and everyone would be really nice.
Yeah.
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 Do you think Donnie's going to play with you on Valentine's?
I don't know. I would love that. I just found out that I was doing that show.
Okay. Well, everyone check it out. Sessions, Jazz Mills, Valentine's. She's a love. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you.
Jazz Mills. So you guys heard it here first, man. We're going to do a little duet, I think maybe next week. So what's going to happen? I'm going to put it out on the internet, probably. Let you guys check it out. All right. Thank you, Jazz, for coming by. I hope you guys enjoyed it. She was a very insightful and very, very cool person with a lot of depth. That's what I enjoy. That is what I enjoy. Thank you for listening to the show. And don't forget to subscribe to us on iTunes. And like our Facebook page. You can follow me on Twitter and on Instagram as well, at Johnny Gowdy. And let's have a little bit more preview of Jazz Mills. You guys won't be able to hear this until later this year, probably. So here you go. Here's a little more Jazz Mills for you. Bye-bye. Sorry, I